In the case of nuclear or radiological fallout, people living around potential targets. You shouldn't leave your shelter until officials say so.
This is the emergency broadcast system. This is not a test. Repeat, this is not a test. Citizens are advised to take the following steps. Stay alert to news media events or local emergency alert notifications.
So when I was in the vault, we had these things that were like audio recordings. Apparently, this is an audio recording and I'm in it. And this is what happened last time on the Big Red Button podcast.
You hear a sound. I freeze immediately, drop really, really low to the ground.
It doesn't sound like this is a small animal.
Three dogs, mongrel dogs, it looks like.
For Queen of Hungary! Over here!
The mongrel, the first one that was closest to you, takes off galloping.
I feel like I need to be rewarded for these rolls. This does not feel like a success.
Excuse me, will one of you idiots take a shot?
And I just wail at the first dog.
Whoa! And I fire.
You blasted a hole through this dog.
You should see me now, Sheriff. You should see me now, Sheriff Ironhand.
My flamethrower swings around in front of my face.
Flames bathe the dog. But the one that's closest to you takes a bite, and it latches on.
Ow, 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 you mangy mutt. Get off of me, get off of me, get off of me.
I'm not going to let them down again. I aim the 44.
That's a hit. Gives one last dying howl before it expires in a pool of its own blood and guts. And the fight is now over, at least between these three mangy pooches.
All right, now that unpleasantness is over, I think we should probably check out what's in that burned out car over there.
I walk up to the wreckage of the car and make some proceedings.
You kick your lights on as you look around and you see that there is blood everywhere. Tucked, kind of jammed into the windshield of maybe a helmet to a piece of power armor.
Oh no, do you guys think that the woman?
She killed him, ripped his head off.
And a form steps out from behind the tree. A shot rings out. And it tears through Houston's shoulder as one of the optical sensors of Gottfried's is smashed into pieces.
Fuck! What
Houston, Gottfried! Houston, Gottfried!
And Jake's world goes black as a hood gets put over his head and he gets dragged to the ground.
Look at this tasty morsel we found.
Welcome back to another adventure on the Big Red Button podcast. My name's Alex, and I am joined tonight by the rest of the stragglers and our overseer, Dallas. And if it's your first time dropping by, glad to have you. Welcome. We are a narrative role-playing game, an actual play where the roll of the dice determines our fate. We are basically Dungeons and Dragons for Fallout, and we are inhabiting the world of post-apocalyptic Michigan.
So we have our stragglers dangling when we left off, and they are a little different, maybe a little worse for wear now, and we have our Jake Winger, played by our voluptuous, no.
Oh,
Alex.
Supple even. Yes, I'm Jake. I'm just going to say that I'm going to have to take up a complaint with management when I get back. This is not what they told us it was going to be like. I was told that I was going to be in charge, helping make everything better. And then now it's just way worse. So that's all I have for now. I'm going to bite my tongue so that...
That's middle management for you. They throw you out into the wasteland, that you get all the responsibility and all of the blame.
That's how it feels sometimes, Houston. That's how it feels.
Well, I still blame you anyways. Yeah.
If you can find a phone in a working complaint department somewhere that isn't full of ghouls, you go right for it.
I'm taking it straight to the top. I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is, but I will take it to them.
Jeff Bezos.
We also have our third eye blind robo companion, no. Godfrey.
Oh, that's messed up, man.
Played by our just as clanky William.
Well,
what the fudge is wrong with you, man?
I don't know about you individuals. You keep saying this is not what I signed up for. I don't remember signing my name to any sort of ledger. I'm ready to go back in the vault. This is atrocious.
And as someone who handled all the ledgers, you would know if your name was on it.
I would. Yes. As I've said before, my memory is impeccable.
Except when we're told not to tell people about cannibals, apparently. Then it's just laissez-faire.
This is what happens. This is a direct result.
I said my
result.
Memory systems are impeccable. I need self-control. It's iffy at best, but...
We also have our crusty companion, the oldest one amongst us, Houston, played by our even older but less crusty Cody.
He's only 400 years old.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about, but I woke up this morning and I was definitely crusty like a crab. And frankly, I didn't want to be here. I don't even like these people. I don't know why I stick around with them. And honestly, listeners, why are you even still listening to this? This is atrocious.
Wait
this
a second.
This is the worst.
Houston has started the breaking the fourth wall, too. I want to break the fourth wall.
Intros, you there's can't. No bounds. No bounds in the intro.
Jake, yeah. There is no fourth wall. The fourth wall doesn't exist.
What are you talking about, Houston?
It can't be broken if it doesn't exist.
There's no rules. I'm going to take my shirt off.
There's one rule.
I think that's where you go.
No.
Everybody else is like, reality doesn't exist. You're like, I'm going to take my shirt off. What a rebel.
I'm going to rotate around, point the busted eyeball in his direction.
I'm a big, scary cannibal. If he takes his shirt off, it makes it easier to flay him. Actually, I remember the lesson from the last episode. It's flay, not fillet. I thought you got to flay him to fillet him. I don't know. I don't know why both of us sound the exact same. Now I understand why it's so hard for Dallas to do this.
There we go. You understand my plight now. So last time that we were checking in on our stragglers, they were out.
Checking out.
They were going northeast to look for Lady to turn in to the Brotherhood of Steel, like any good set of snitches would, and try to get a fusion core for the whereabouts of a synth lady. But on their trek, they found some remains of what looked like a Brotherhood of Steel surveying group or recon group. They were jumped and are now worse for wear. Houston has a gunshot wound. Our Godfrey is missing an eye, perhaps. And all of them are now tied up, hoods over their eyes and or remaining eye stalks. And they're being carried away by what they are assuming are the cultists, because they did hear them talk about presenting our one still preserved, young,
strapping, sexy, supple. I believe you said voluptuous.
Yes, I believe.
yeah. Keep going. You said intelligent, I think.
They're going to eat you, perhaps. So that's where we left off.
Oh, those weren't compliments. Those were merely commenting on his lean to fat muscle ratio. How juicy of a burger is he going to become?
Look, I think I'm quite literally beef jerky at this point, so I don't want to take any more chances.
So you've been carried off. It has been a couple of hours since you have been tied up and been dragged and carried and beaten, banged around. And you have no clue where you are. That is where we are right now. But you do hear the cultists arguing back and forth about what they should do and what they should maybe do to you guys.
So what are we going to do with these guys? Can't eat the male one. The other one's all tough and dried out. But we've still got that last good one, I think.
First of all, that was freaky. I was like, who's talking?
I thought we had our first dynamic ad in a live recording.
Oh my gosh, that was wacky. I mean, I realized it's AI after the fact, but then I'm like, whoa.
Damn it, man. You know we're not allowed to eat them. These are for the sacrifice, and if we eat them, he'll eat us.
Excuse me, I'm over here. Can you please, I'm sorry,
silence.
Okay.
No talking from the sacrifices.
Sacrifice?
I think our best bet is to throw that iron thing in the river. He's no use to us.
I've already analyzed your composition. You are iron deficient.
How is he still alive?
Well, he's still alive. I'm...
You put sight on his eyes, and I thought you knocked him out.
Good luck finding my speaker grill.
My socks went in. My socks back, you bitch.
Listen, this is why we eat him now, and this is why we go ahead and get rid of all of them, because this is how it's going to be the whole time. And I'm not putting up with it. We can find something else to give to the leader. He doesn't know that we have this one.
So as you guys are preparing for the end, you hear some confusion and you hear a ruckus. And then, silence. No more talking. Nothing except for some deep, heavy breathing. As you're all three lifted into the air with very strong hands. Way higher up than the cultists have. I was trying to describe that. I just keep seeing Alex with stuff in his mouth. And it transported me right there. I was there.
To where? On yes, site? Where? You were there?
On site. I was there. Yeah. So you can't see what's going on, but you are lifted up very easily and taken for a very long time. You hear no talking, complete silence.
You're not as voluptuous as you think.
Aww.
Overseer, how am I bound currently? I know I've got socks over my eyes, socks. Luckily, I knew enough and I had enough foresight to turn off my olfactory sensors. How am I bound currently?
There are socks over your eye stalks. Your thrusters have been disabled.
How?
All of your arms
how
are
did
tied.
They know how to disable my thrusters?
They, you know, they've been around the block.
That is a closely guarded secret between me and my maker.
Buddy, I'm sorry to tell you this, but the Rob Coat manual is public information. I even know how to turn you off.
Blast, he has a point, and I hate it when he has a point.
I'm sorry. I shut up now.
Is it intelligible? Can you all tell what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, good.
How are my arms bound again?
They are all tied together, and they are strapped. Well, with extra thick straps to your body, you cannot move.
Extra thick straps.
If this was a regular Friday night, this would actually be kind of exciting, but it's not.
How close in proximity to the others am I?
You can't tell. As of right now, you cannot tell because you cannot see and are a little bit disoriented because you are being carried on your side. Would you like to make a perception roll?
I would like to perceive whether or not I am currently jostling into my compatriots as I am being carried.
Oh, you are not. You're not being jostled into them. You are being held, like there's an arm wrapped all the way around you. You're being carried on what you feel like is their shoulder as you're being
I
carried along.
I would like to fire my flamethrower attachment My arm is being attached. It should still be functional.
Okay, so you go to light your flamer attachment because the pilot light has gone out. And as you go to light the little pilot light, you feel something clamp over your pilot light and snuffs it out. Not aggressively, but firmly stops your flamer from flamer fuel.
Why did I oddly feel comforted by that firm touch? Anyway, I go to fire the buzzsaw.
Guffy, knock it off.
Knock it off. I am trying to knock it off. I'm trying to knock off the restraints. I'm trying to knock off the...
So your buzzsaw arm is folded and collapsed kind of tucked into what would be the robotic equivalent of your armpit.
Blast!
Latched fairly close. So if you did kick it on, it would saw your own arm off, potentially harming others as well, but...
No, never mind. Never mind. I shall just go complacent and stop talking and accept my fate.
How am I tied up?
Your arms are bound, and so are your legs, and there is a hood over your face as well, and you still have your gunshot wound to the shoulder.
Okay, so there's not much movement to be had here.
There is not, and you're very old, so you're not as limber as you used to be 200 years ago.
And you're not voluptuous either. Why am I still bound and gagged? Why am I pimple?
I actually think it's an improvement.
I never said you were gagged. That's something that you asked.
Headcanon accepted.
That was a request, I think, that you made. That
I find it's the biggest improvement of the game so far.
So you guys are carried for a few hours and are set gently down onto the ground. Still bound. Still have hoods over your eyes, or what remains of your eyes. But you hear some subtle movements around where you guys have been set down. And so you hear murmurs from what sounds like multiple people as they mill about. Houston, you feel somebody working on your gunshot wound and feel somebody stitching up the hole in your shoulder. You feel the sting of some sort of alcohol that has been poured on you. And then you feel wraps, something being wrapped around your shoulder. Godfrey, you feel the sock come off of your damaged, broken eye stalk.
Huh.
And you feel lots of movement, and there's a lot of clanking going on. It sounds like somebody is working eye stalk. And they work in complete silence. They have very deft, nimble movements as they go to work, and... you start seeing static out of that eye stalk as a not very clear picture comes into view from that eye stalk of a woman walking away. Jake, nothing happens to you.
Aww.
Master McKinley.
What is it, Godfrey?
It's...
What?
We've been sent on a quest to find a female figure, and one of them is here.
I don't know how to tell you this, but half the population are in fact females.
Believe me, I am well aware at how futile this quest has been, but I've narrowed out it being male. It's a start. Excuse me, madam.
I call out to the figure.
She doesn't even turn around, and she walks into what looks like a small-ish shack in some very dark woods. Would you like to maybe roll a perception check as to what it is that you can see around you?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Am I still blindfolded?
Yes, everyone is still blindfolded except for this one eye stalk.
Okay.
I make an attempt to bump up the shutter speed. Let's roll. Oh, let's roll again.
15.
I have increased.
Ooh.
I have successfully increased my ISO to 64,000. Shutter speed is currently operating at 1/60th of a second, and my aperture is at a juicy 1.2. Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's a photographer in real life.
I don't know if those are real terms.
Can I see? I want to see.
And with my two, I perceive.
So you see with your two, which you needed a 7 in perception and your survival of 2. So that means you needed at least a 9. So you knocked it out of the park. Everything becomes fairly clear. There's still some kind of scan lines in your vision. This seems like a very old lens that you're looking through, but everything is very clear and very clean. You are in a deep in the woods. You're surrounded by very thick trees, lots and lots of vegetation. You are in the middle of a ring of
power.
Not a ring of power.
Fire.
Not a ring of fire. Nah. I knew after one came that this ring of fire was coming. A ring of park benches that are around a very well-maintained fire pit with a roasting spit in the middle. There is 7 park benches that are well-worn around and one regular chair that is also sitting around this fire. The house has a nice little porch. There's a basketball goal. There is where there used to be the door to this very old house. It has been removed. And there's another door in its place, a much larger door, where the old door used to be. It is nighttime. There is a nice fire going beside you. And you look at your companions, and it looks like there has been as well of a patch job that could be done with the unprofessional wraps on Houston. And Jake is hanging out, still mumbling and talking and trying to sweet talk his way through his voluntary gag that he had put on underneath of his
voluntary.
You cannot see your own eye stalk that has been repaired, but as you're looking around, the door opens and out steps a woman with dark hair and a red coat. Very pale, the color of ash is complexion that she has. As she steps out, leans against a post, and just kind of stares at you guys.
Master McKinley, the odds have increased in our favor. Not only because she's female.
What's going on out there? What's going on?
I mean, you are correct here, but it feels awfully convenient that the woman we're looking for is actually tending our wounds. It's almost like this is a plot contrivance.
Wait. Are you saying that the scent found us?
So she hears the ruckus that you guys are causing, and so she steps off of the porch and approaches.
We're being led by an idiot over here.
Hey, be nice to Godfrey, okay? Be nice to me? Hey!
So she approaches, leans down, checks the work on Godfrey, and kind of readjusts the bandages on Houston. So she bends down, and she begins to talk to you guys.
Do you boys generally make a habit of getting in trouble and getting captured by a bunch of crazy raiders?
Not normally.
I have not been out of my municipal vault for long enough to build habits. But if there's anything I've learned about this wasteland, is it's all chaos. I would love some habits. I would love some order. I would love some repetition.
Look, there was a time I was captured by a beautiful woman in the 2170s, but that was a long time ago.
Can I cut free, please?
No, I like him better this way.
Listen, I will take your hoods off. I'm hesitant to take the bonds off of your hands and your pincers and your flamers.
Kinky.
Oh. But
I will. You promise to behave.
Uh-huh.
And I can already tell one of you might have been gagged for a reason, so.
I think I might have done that.
I'm going to take them off now.
Okay.
She reaches over and she pulls the hoods and socks off of all of your heads and eye stalks.
Are you saying that in the process of us being abducted, you took the opportunity to gag him under the cover of the abduction?
He used his one great sneak roll not to escape or get everyone out, but to gag him
during the abduction.
I'm not saying that.
So the hoods have been removed. The gag has been taken out of Jake's mouth. But your hands and legs are still bound. still are not mobile as you lay here.
Hello, madam. I'm Godfrey.
We all seen the red jacket.
There are lots of red jackets in the world. That doesn't mean anything.
She kind of self-consciously moves her jacket around as you guys are obviously talking where she can hear you.
Will you two stop it? Hello, madam. My name is Godfrey. No, I'm not allowed to do that. It is pronounced however you see fit, because you seem to, have your wits about you, and you, are obviously very strong, and I don't want anything else on my person's crushed. So, tell us a bit, about yourself.
How's about, before I tell you about me, you tell me how you ended up being carried away by a bunch of raiders who I overheard talking about eating people? Because it seems to me either you guys are idiots or you have made someone very angry and got yourselves roped up.
Well, you're two-thirds correct there. You are two-thirds correct there. We are idiots. At least two of us are.
I'm assuming you're including yourself in those two of the three?
Rude.
You said us, so I didn't know.
I said two-thirds of us.
Oh, how the turntable.
So let me get this straight. Your group is a smashed-up robot, a mouthy gentleman who I think was probably gagged for his own good, and a very crunchy, very crusty ghoul who got himself shot in the shoulder?
Hi. I'm Jake.
Oh, here we go.
That's Houston.
Is he broken?
The crunchy? No. I think it's called ghoulified. So not broken, just kind of like
preserved.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm preserved and grumpy like my grandfather.
So there's a good possibility that you might know some of our friends. So we live down in Dustridge, and those guys over there, part of a bigger group, who came down to Dustridge and tried to eat us. So,
well, them, not me.
Well, yeah, not Godfrey. He's not really their cup of tea.
Although I didn't want more to point out to them, but they were all very remarkably iron deficient.
How do I tell you this? We actually kind of need to talk potentially with you.
With me?
Well, maybe.
You're gonna need to start talking. Just remember, I killed all those raiders that were holding you.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you have something to say to me, go ahead and say it.
And she pulls out a knife and starts kind of just whittling around. Ooh, on a stick.
That's big and pointy. Here's the thing. Are you, by chance, a woman wearing a red jacket?
She's obviously wearing it right now.
So, did you get hit in the face too? Like, are your eyes broken?
I like her.
He's from the vault. He doesn't know how the world works. And frankly...
Oh, so we have a vault boy. I gotcha.
Yes.
That's starting to make sense.
Yes. In my day, they were called homeschooled. Look, we've been looking for a lady in particular because we believe she has a fusion core. Do you have one of those around here?
Why would I have a fusion core?
We just heard from some big friends of our, some regular sized friends of ours, that you could just help us get a fusion core somehow. Hey, is this where you live full time? Just asking for.
That's none of your business.
Okay, fair. Yep, fair enough. And that is very pointy, and it's pointed at me. I'm gonna sit over here still, very quietly.
I do have to ask you, madam. This place, the condition is impeccable. Is this your doing?
That is also none of your business.
Well, I'm sorry, I just...
And mind your questions.
I just...
Godfrey, quit trying to flirt with every female you see.
Listen.
You guys are still hiding something, because you haven't told me how or why you ended up into this situation that you are in.
Well, I usually get in trouble whenever I divulge information that I know. And I've been processing the different things that I could tell you at this point.
Welcome to Rob No Processing Program. What can we process? Godfrey.
Option number one, we turn her into the Brotherhood of Steel in order to get a fusion core so we can head to New Detroit. Option number two, we murder her. I am rather getting fond of this whole violence thing. Option number three, I confess my love for her, apparently, and we both run off together and have our synthetic babies.
Godfrey, you've just been, like, beeping and whirring for a second. You good?
Yes, I'm fine. Yes, sir.
Does he always just lock up like that for 5 minutes?
Occasionally.
It's actually the quietest he's been since we've met him.
Listen, I come from a place where honesty was not considered the best policy. In fact, they lied about everything all the time. But I'm going to risk something here. We come from a town that was attacked by those people, so we were sent to try and figure out what's going on with the cannibals. On the way, one of our friends has this Protectron that needs a power cell, and in our exploration, we were told that if we found some lady wearing a red duster jacket, that we should go report her whereabouts so that we could get a fusion core for Phyllis the robot, right? So that's cards on the table here. And I really don't want to die. So as we came up here, we found, I guess they were your footprints, and then because we were fighting those big mongrels, then the cannibals found us, and then because the cannibals were really loud, I guess you found the cannibals, and then you found us, and then we found you. So, and then now we're back to the present, and then I started explaining all the ways that we got to the past, and then the past caught up with the present again, and now we're here, in the now. Does that help?
No, not at all. It tells me that you guys make poor decisions, but before I decide if I'm going to cut you loose or cut you up,
ooh,
I need to know who it was that you told about me.
Oh, well, I don't think I want to do that, but I'm going to roll for persuasion here. I'm rolling a 4. And let's see if I can do better than that. Roll a 3.
Ooh.
Yes.
You're all really good because you have a charisma. Your riz is 7 and your speech is 5. So
nice.
That is a... both of those.
So listen, lady, I told you enough that you should trust us, but I don't necessarily feel like telling you everything all at once. So maybe you can tell us about yourself, and then we can see if we can come to some kind of mutual agreement. Does that sound fair?
That's fair. Because, I mean, what if these are the last words you ever hear? Does it really matter if I tell you about who I am?
Well, I mean, maybe we don't do it as our last words ever. I mean, that would be real drastic, wouldn't it, guys? Right?
Well, we'll see how this goes.
Okay. All right.
I'm from out east, and based on some of the things you've told me, I think you know a little bit about who I am.
Maybe. Maybe not.
I grew up, or what I thought was growing up, in Boston, and lived a fantastic life. Then I found out that none of those memories are real, and I was made by a group called the Institute, and I wanted out. So I left, and knowing that they were going to follow me, I decided to head this direction by myself.
Wait, you mean to tell me that you can't trust any of your life memories either?
No.
Wow.
But that's only a synth thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So she kind of side-eyes you, assuming that you have some sort of severe brain injury at this point.
Keep it in your pants, swinger.
So I decided to leave because The world was burning down in Boston.
Same. I get it. Totally. Yeah. That's so cool.
So I headed this direction, and that's when I found out that there are lots of people looking for me and other synths. But luckily, I'm still intact enough I can pass for human most of the time, so I bartered, stole, and lied my way out this direction. And while I was wandering through the woods, I started fighting a Yaogwai.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, the big bear things, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
I fought one of those and got hemmed up here and decided that I was just going to call this home. That's all you get to know at this point. And now I need something from you.
Me?
From all of you.
Oh.
To make sure that I can let you guys leave here alive.
Oh.
I'm going to need to know why you were looking for me. And I need the truth. And as a synth, I can tell better than most whether or not you're lying.
It is a neat skill to have. Sensing the spikes and adrenaline in those around you, you can tell when they're trying to...
I get it, Gus.
Yeah. Well, as I am Steel and Circuits, our mission was altruistic. We are attempting to help a fellow synthetic individual by the name of Phyllis be able to power up in order to accompany Carl to safety away from this roving band of cannibals. Fusion cores are indeed hard to come by, and a lead was presented to us where if we provided information, we could be presented with a fusion core. However, I like you, and apparently that's a thing that I do recently, is liking people. I don't know how to quite process this, but that's for another time. Is there a way that we could provide viable information to our patrons that could also ensure your safety and could ensure that we acquire the fusion core?
Can I also get your forwarding address? Because, I mean, maybe we could become pen pals. No, never mind. We can talk about that later. What Godfrey said.
These two are children.
I don't think you can read or write.
Me?
And at this point, I'm not sure. I think you can smell colors at this point.
I like her.
Me?
You, Mr. Robot.
No, she was making fun of you, Godfrey.
I need to know who your patron is.
Can we tell her, guys? I don't think we can.
Oh, I'm perfectly capable of telling her. It was the Brotherhood of Steel.
Shut up, Godfrey! They don't like her.
You're gonna sell me out to the
Brotherhood.
The Brotherhood of Steel?
I will be perfectly honest with you, madam. That was our intention initially, yes. However, perhaps we can come up with an alternative where you live out your days in peace. I don't know, maybe we provide some sort of diversion or distraction. Maybe you can lay a false trail that would prove beneficial. They didn't say we had to provide you to her. We just had to provide information.
Yeah.
That is a surprisingly good offer.
So why don't you just tell them?
We have to provide something. We need a fusion core for Phyllis. The cannibals are closing in around Crazy Carl and Phyllis as we speak. So we have a proverbial ticking clock.
Is this Carl person and Phyllis, they're your friends?
Yes. Carl was a beloved member of our community.
And he got us all the bootleg hooch. Like, he made stuff in his bathtub. You're going to love it when you come visit me and my parents. Well, my parents are dead, but that's a whole different story.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Tune in next time.
You can meet Mayor Evelyn. She would really like you. Anyways, yeah, we like Carl.
You like Carl?
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
wanted to save your friend. Why didn't you... Where's the rest of your town? Why are they not helping?
They have all headed to New Detroit. And because Phyllis was unable to be powered up, Carl stayed behind. His devotion to that robot is something that I can only hope to find eventually.
So you came all the way up here to find me to help save your friend.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, instead of going to New Detroit, which is what sane people and robots would have done, instead, you went to a cannibal, rat-infested woods to save your friend?
I think you're completely understanding, yeah. Was there a question in that?
So she puts her knife away, stands up, dusts her pants off, and she goes around the side of the building, and you guys are left to your own devices. You don't know where she went. She kind of ducked into the darkness.
I still have a hard time reading human expressions and emotions. Is she upset? Is she perplexed? Is she compelled? I
don't know, but I think it's cool that she can't trust her background. That's
the
neat.
One point of commonality that you two have. That's incredibly sad.
You know what? When you put it that way, kind of, it is. Oh.
Anyways, Houston, you've been around longer than any of us. What are our odds here?
You know, one of the worst literary tropes of all time. Ever since I read Lord of the Flies in high school, was this concept called Deus Ex Machina, God of the Machine.
Deus?
Two of them.
Deus. And I'm an English teacher.
Deus Ex Machina, God of the Machine, where a plot point comes out of the middle of nowhere. In here, we have a machine who comes out of the middle of nowhere. This is like my own personal hell being with you guys in a plot point that comes out of the middle of nowhere.
Listen, I'm right here.
Look, Lord of the Flies was pre-1960s. It is a reference that I could make.
That's true.
So.
This is yeah, true. With the big old deuce machismo.
What's a deuce machismo and why is she so pretty?
Give it up.
Okay.
You don't have a chance with her.
Okay, but like, maybe?
Is she coming back? Did she leave? Was she so disgusted with the situation that she's literally walking away?
Godfrey turns to look in the direction that she left in with his new to him eye. And you guys are now seeing it for the first time. And it is an old camera that has been attached to the end of his eye stalk with computer components to actually integrate it into his circuitry. So it is just a very old vintage camera.
That's a good look for you, buddy.
You really cannot beat vintage glass. The grain that you get, it's so aesthetic.
Godfrey, knock it off.
It's such a...
Sorry. Hey, leave him be. He's having a Kodak moment.
Allow me to roll for perception, shall I?
Go for it.
Ooh, 9. And we'll try it again. Just to see. Oh, no, let's go with the perception and survival. That's 9, right? Right? Yeah. Yes, okay, all right.
So as you peer into the darkness in which she slanked off into.
Slunk.
What I was hoping for. She slips back around the corner, and it looks like she was talking to someone as she comes back around. And she is not holding the knife anymore. Whew. She comes and she sits in the one chair that is around the fire pit and tells you.
All right, I've been thinking it over. I think I have a solution for your fusion core problem, but I will only tell you about it. I will only help you if you swear you will not go back to the Brotherhood and tell them about me.
I swear.
All of you.
Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, sure, why not?
Or you can all die. I don't care either way.
Oh, well, I mean, that made it even easier. Yeah, I swear. Super swear. Like, sometimes I even say crap. And then... Fiddlesticks. I'm really good at swearing. They taught us a lot of the swears in the vaults.
Fuddy dad. Okie dokie.
Did you make that intentional? Good job. Yeah. Proud of you.
So she rolls her eyes and her hand goes to her knife handle as you continue to curse Vault Boy style in her general direction. Without even seeing what happens, the knife flings out of her hands and buries into the log.
Okay. I don't think...
So impressed.
I think I'm aroused.
Madam, your dexterity.
I think if we're going to survive this mess, we need to keep her around.
Tell me, would you like a new last name? Straggler? It's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
I like that you've adopted that as your all's collective last names.
Jake Straggler, Houston Straggler, and Godfrey Straggler.
Calls me Straggler.
Are you done playing around? Are you ready to hear how this is going to go?
Game Master?
Yes?
Could I use my Gaslighter perk here? Which is, per combat encounter, I can convince one person my level or below to join our cause.
Her, she's way above you in level.
Oh, dang it.
You're level 2. Not a lot she's of level, things are on was, your level.
She's a 10 is what she is. It got a little weird there for a minute where I was like, all right, I am Jake and I'm flirting with the synth, but then it's actually just Alex and I'm flirting with Dallas. And he's just like, yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
I'll allow it. Do I need to switch back to the voice? Will that make it better?
Okay, no. All right. Okay, what are the conditions? Like, join or die? Or is it just...
Yeah, that's the choice. That is the choice.
Yeah, we're in.
If you're in, you're in. And I need to know that I can trust you three. The fact that you guys risk your lives and it doesn't seem like you're very good at the whole hero bit.
Absolutely not.
For your friend, just for your friend who is serving you no benefit whatsoever, that really touched me.
She turns around and kind of moves her hand, a signal.
I think she's going to give us a new friendship handshake. This is going to be exciting.
Shut up.
Behind seven trees, it looks like seven trees move. Silently slip out from behind seven trees are seven super mutants that almost materialize in front of you.
What are those?
I was going to ask you the same question, Mr. Wanger.
And lumber into the light. And lumber is appropriate because they are all wearing... lumberjack type outfits, each and every one. That is where we're going to end this.
Whoa!
What? We're going to end it on a paper towel, eh? What's going on here?
And they're all eating Hungry Man meals also.
So we have won over the sympathies of the synth. And she has summoned her lumberjack boy band of super mutants.
When we started up this episode, I thought, I'm about to be, you know, lunch meat for a bunch of cannibals. And now I'm leaving this episode thinking I'm about to be lunch meat for a bunch of super mutants. So it feels like out of the frying pan into the fire. And what better way for our stragglers to end our adventure this week? Well, if you've enjoyed what you've heard here tonight, please drop us a follow. Give us a rating on your podcast listening device of choice. And if you like what you hear and want to hear more of what we're up to, check out the rest of our sibling shows. We've got A Doctor and a Lawyer Walk Into a Bar. That's our pop culture chat show. And we also have Potter Plus, which is breaking down Wizarding World and the upcoming HBO show. So if you like what you've heard here, check us out at bigredbutton.show, or you can check out our entire network at thegrapefruitnetwork.com. So with that, I have been Jake Winger, and I'm starting to doubt all the training that I got in the vault.
You should, because I'm Houston, and that's the only thing you actually know here.
And I'm Godfrey, and based on this encounter, I'm going to practice my knife skills. Ooh-wee.
The horniest robot in the tri-state area.
And the object of all of your affections, I am the the overseer and all of the ladies you love. So with that, I will see you later.
Toodaloo!